This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today, and it just happens to be my birthday. Yay! So anyways, it's November 5th, and it is the week after the time change, the end of daylight savings time, and I've got to tell you, it's about 6 o'clock, and it is dark already. One of the things that I do sometimes for these podcasts is I have a little set of notes off to the side, and as I stop at a stoplight or something, I glance down just to kind of see if I'm on track or if there's something I might be missing, and you know what? I don't think I'm doing that tonight because I can't see my notes, which is just fine. I think we'll be okay. In related news to things that are related to my life, I should say, I am still working on the 21-day challenge. For those who have listened to this, it's 21-day challenge to go 21 days without complaining, criticizing, or gossiping from a complaint-free world. I had decided several weeks ago that I'd go ahead and do it giving myself a little bit of grace, because sometimes there's things that are kind of borderline that you could justify, and you know, so I decided, well, I'm just going to do this, giving myself a little bit of grace. I did make it through that 21 days. Good, done and done. Now I'm doing it without grace. I had hoped to be able to tell you that I was doing better on it today, but unfortunately, I have to say basically the same thing I said last week. I am on day 3. I had made it to day 4.5 last Friday. I thought I was going along pretty good. And I rented a movie called Every Little Step. It's a documentary on people who are trying out for the latest incarnation of a chorus line, which, for those of you who don't know, a chorus line is, I think, the longest running show on Broadway. Or if it isn't, it's close second, something. Anyways, and it was a very interesting documentary. And I have to say that for most of it, while I was working on some brainless things on Friday and had it going on in the background at my office, that for most of it, the creators of the movie did a pretty good job showing some respect to their female stars. These are all dancers. Most of the time they're wearing leotards and tights, you know, because the people who are producing the show, of course, have to see all of the assets of the performers. And most of the time, they did a pretty good job. I was sitting there working along, and they were showing the final audition process. And I looked over, and suddenly they had cut to a close-up of this lovely young woman's ankles and began the pan up her legs, and I thought, well, okay, here we go. And as I was talking with friends about it this week, and they said, oh, so, and I said, and they didn't even stop at her face. I mean, it was that obvious, they didn't stop at her face. And one buddy said, oh, so they stopped at her breast? And I said, no. And he went, really? I said, yep, they stopped hip to hip, framing the picture. And I looked at it, and before I knew it, I was saying, and there's the crotch shot. And then I went, oh, rats! That's a complaint. No grace. So that was Friday. And then I had a little slip-up. I was actually commiserating with somebody on Monday. I thought maybe that was just a lie. It wasn't really a complaint, but I thought, you know, no grace. So I'm on day 3. But you know what? It's good. It's good. A buddy of mine actually said he's not ever sure that he's ever going to make the 21 days, but just the process, he said, has been very beneficial for him to pay more attention to the things that's coming out of his mouth. And that's good. In writing news, I expect that I have the actual production version at home of That Faded Shore, some copies that I'm going to send out to some people who had contributed to the book in terms of giving me some research that I needed done while I was doing the book. I'll be sending those out shortly. I'm working on my children's novel. That's actually puttering along. It was kind of interesting. Yesterday, because as I was sitting there just doing my computer work in the background, this stuff is opening up with some of the plot points that I wanted to exploit a little farther, and I finally just had to stop, hop on my computer at home, and just jot them down, you know, take a minute to jot them down, and then get back to work, because sometimes that stuff keeps spinning in your head, and then it's hard to focus. So that's going pretty good. I was hoping to have it in beta sometime in January or February, and I really wanted to have it in beta by Christmas, but I didn't think, there's no way. But, you know, I might. So we'll see. Anyway, so that's kind of what's going on in my life. In terms of what we are talking about, we are actually on part two of what I think is going to be a three-part series. I'm pretty sure if we have enough time, I might get to part three, but I doubt it. We started this last week talking about one of the big, big questions. Namely, if God is a God of love, why is there such suffering in the world? And just to reiterate some of the basic ground rules of this discussion, I do not think it is even possible for us to reach a conclusion if we are discussing things that are far beyond our ability to ever understand, such as, in the end, who actually makes it to heaven and who doesn't make it to heaven, okay? I understand Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I understand that. But I also understand that there are lots of things that can happen in a person's mind and in a person's spirit as they are approaching that boundary. And I don't think there's any way any of us can reach any solid conclusion about anyone's final destination from the outside. So, you know, a person who never called the name of Christ, they die, I really don't think we can just automatically say, well, they died and they're going to hell. I mean, because in those final moments of life, who knows what's happening? So we need to take that whole piece of it off the table. When we're talking about suffering, we're not talking about how could God condemn people to hell while they suffer the rest of their life? How can we be a God of love? Because that's in God's hands, no good. What we need to talk about is stuff that happens here on planet Earth. And why is there suffering on planet Earth if God is a God of love? What we talked about last week was the fact that I really think that in order to have a coherent discussion about this, we need to break it up into three areas of discussion. The first being people who suffer because they internally manufacture their suffering. That's the first area of suffering. The second area of suffering is suffering which is instigated by other parties outside of us. And the third area of discussion is suffering that is instigated by the random events of life. Hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, all those types of things. So last week, we discussed the fact that there are people who go through exactly the same experiences, and yet you can line them up and you can find a gamut of emotions where everything from despondency to joy. And these people have all been through exactly the same thing. What's the difference? The difference is will. The difference is free will. Because ultimately, people choose to interpret those events in their lives, and it is that choice which determines how they look at life and how they experience life. It's not necessarily the events that have happened to them that cause this type of suffering, but rather it is their choices, and those choices are directly related to their free will. And as we go along on this discussion, I said this last week, I think, if nothing else, you will understand my viewpoint, and hopefully you'll agree with my viewpoint, that when it comes to suffering in the world, it is all completely related to free will and different aspects of free will. And the only way that God could actually alleviate all the suffering in the world is if he did away with somebody's free will or a whole lot of somebody's free will. And he's not going to do that because he's given us free will. It is his great gift to us. that he has created beings that can actually look around him, look around themselves, and make decisions and stick by those decisions no matter what comes up. It's just amazing to me that people can exist in this world and look at the magnificent design in this world and then look at the heavens and say, you're not out there. And that's a whole other discussion. So anyways, we talked about suffering, which is caused by internal decisions last week. This week, we're going to talk about suffering that is instigated by an individual outside ourselves. There is no question that there is a great deal of pain in this world that people inflict on others. One of the things that started us down this road of discussion was Louise Ogborn's experience being strip searched in McDonald's. And there's no question that the man who spanked her and sexually abused her at that McDonald's inflicted pain on her. There's no question about that. There's no question that the Army Major, I think it was today, I forget where it was, but I just heard it on the radio, that apparently there was at least one, if not two or three, soldiers at some Army base here in the United States that a firefight erupted, people have been killed, people have been wounded. There's no question that there is pain that is caused by other people and inflicted on those who then subsequently suffer. One of the things about Slumdog Millionaire that brought back many, many memories for me was the cheapness of life in Asian countries. I grew up in the Philippines, where many families have many children. My parents served in Sri Lanka for many years. There is a cheapness to life in Asian countries that does not exist here in the United States of America. Before Marcos declared martial law in the Philippines, it was nothing during the, quote, democratic elections, unquote, for a member of the opposition party to be nailing up a little poster on a telephone pole and a car pull up, window rolls down, machine gun comes out, kills the guy, car rolls off. I mean, it's just unbelievable for people who have grown up in the United States of America, or for that matter, Canada, to understand how cheap life is in Asia. And as I was watching the movie Slumdog Millionaire, which I enjoyed the movie very, very much, that those memories came back. And the types of things that you see in Slumdog Millionaire regarding the treatment of children are true. My parents were in Sri Lanka, and they said it was not unusual for someone who wanted their children to be beggars to break their arms and legs and allow them to not heal properly so that they would look more pitiful and therefore be able to make more money as beggars. Okay, this kind of stuff happens in the world. And there are individuals who inflict pain on others, and they do it intentionally, and they do it purposefully, and some of them do it almost continuously. So, if God is a God of love, why does he allow this to continue? Well, I think the first thing that we should really remember is that the model that I live my life by is not that God is way over there somewhere watching us and deciding whether or not that he's going to act. Instead, God is right here with us all day, every day, trying to communicate with us, loving us, striving with us, hoping that there is some way that he can get through to us and cause us to know him. He's very active in my model. So all of the pain that's going on in the world is not something of which God is not aware. God is perfectly aware of that pain. He was perfectly aware that that pain was going to happen before he ever even created the world. So why doesn't he do something? That's the easiest question for us to ask. The more difficult question for us to answer is, what is it exactly that we want him to do? Do we really want him to set up some sort of rule set that says, when you make a person suffer, I'm going to come and kill you? Or when you make a person suffer, one of your fingers is going to fall off? I mean, exactly where do we draw this line, and how do we enforce this? Because if we do it on the basis of suffering, we've already said that suffering is in part a choice of the person who experiences pain. And so if a person takes the pain that's in their lives and turns it into a higher level of suffering than others do, then how would it be fair for God to judge and inflict his wrath on people based on the amount of suffering that was caused to an individual? Well, let's back up a step. What about if he does it based on the amount of pain that is caused by that individual? Are we just going to say it's just straight pain? What about the person who legitimately did something accidental to cause pain? Is that person supposed to be punished the same as someone else who did it intentionally? So now we have to back up again and say, well, no, we only want God to go after those people who intentionally inflict pain on others. So now we want God to be watching all the time, and if I pull out a gun to shoot somebody, we want God to strike me down. Well, see, if God's going to strike me down because I've made a decision to pull out a gun and shoot someone, I don't really have free will. I mean, there's no choice there. What I have is a situation where I am constrained and God gives me free will, but if I don't act right, he in essence is going to take the free will away from me. And frankly, just got on to my smaller road. They've been working on the asphalt, so there's kind of a lip there. And frankly, in that scenario, God really hasn't imparted free will. He's only imparted free will as long as you toe the line and do what he wants. But see, in this life, that's not what God has constructed. In this life, God has actually given us free will. And it's such a precious thing to him that he has restrained himself to not execute justice the moment someone steps outside his laws and sins. He allows people in this life to experience and to choose and to act according to their free will. Now, thankfully, we as humans, out of our free will, have built governmental systems that constrain people, because that's our free will. We can choose to do that. And we have alleviated a great we have alleviated a great deal of suffering in the United States, for instance, by creating judicial systems. Now, obviously, they have some of their own problems, but they have alleviated suffering. But see, that's kind of our job. That's not God's job. That's our job. And in addition to that, besides God just allowing people to have their free will and to exercise their free will, there are also additional things that are tangled up in any given event. I'm getting my mail. One moment. I have to turn on the light here so I can see. Nope. That's actually something that is to be mailed. My beloved put that in there. So, in terms of events that happen in our lives, it's quite easy when there is pain inflicted by others for us to focus in on that and say, well, see, those evil people, they caused that pain. They caused that pain, and they should be punished. Except we may bear some responsibility. I remember several years ago, my wife was telling me a story. She said, you know, this lady was out and she was working in her yard, and there were some kids that were like driving by really fast, and she said, hey, slow down! And the kids stopped their car, and they got out, and they came back, and they beat her up. And I said, well, I guess the lesson here is that you shouldn't throw rocks at rabid dogs. If you see somebody, I'm backing into my garage, if you see somebody who obviously is filled with flesh and is just looking for trouble, it doesn't really serve you any purpose to go out there and kick them. Because if you go out there and kick them, likely they will kick you back. There was a wonderful little story, a video, that I watched of a news program of a little old lady. Little old lady. She was in a parking garage at a shopping mall, and she was getting ready to drive away, and this young man rushes over to her car, rips open the door, sits down beside her, and, you know, pulls out a knife or something. I don't know, points a gun at her and says, give me your money. This is a carjacking. Get out of the car. And whatever. And this little old lady just looks over at him. She says, no, I'm not going to do that. And he's, come on, lady. Come on. You need to give me your money. No, I'm not going to do that, young man, because that wouldn't really be good for you. And she just sits there and starts talking to him about his life. She's very calm. She begins to tell him that God loves him and that the way he's acting and behaving is not going to bring him joy and happiness in his life. She starts talking to him about Jesus. By the time it's all said and done, she's praying with him. He's crying. And then after it's all over, she gets in her purse and she pulls out some money and she gives him some money. And she says, here, you take this and I hope you have a better day. And so the guy goes off. Now, see, this guy fully intended to come across here and inflict pain and harm in this little old lady. And because she did not react in the flesh, but she reacted in the spirit, she made a decision. Things turned out completely different than they could have turned out. I'm not saying that to say that everyone who has been a victim of violence could have done something to cause that violence not to occur. Because there are situations where violence will occur. But in those instances, that violence is directly related to a person's free will. And if we really think about it, I don't think we want God in the business of deciding when he's going to come and clobber us because we've done something to cause pain in another person. Because frankly, I can think of some things in my life and times in my life when either inadvertently or advertently I did some things to cause pain in others. And I was very grateful for the opportunity to go and apologize for that and get that cleared up. And if God would have just whacked me when it happened, then of course I wouldn't have had the opportunity to apologize. So God is God, and maybe he could figure out where the line is, and maybe he could decide when he was going to punish a person for causing pain to another person. But if he did that, he would be encroaching on their free will. And he's not going to do that, because free will is the greatest gift that he's given us. Next week, we're going to talk about the final piece of the equation, and that is, what about suffering that is instigated by those random occurrences in life? The typhoons, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, those types of things. If God is a God of love, why would he allow those types of things to exist on the earth? This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.